Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
It's Communion Sunday, and it's a very special time for all of us. And for me, as I was writing my thoughts together, I simply titled it The Ultimate Sacrifice. It means a lot to me, especially in the past five and eight months of my life because of the challenge that I've been facing. It's an ongoing daily thing because it's very present in my life. But I thank God for the sacrifice, Christ for the sacrifice He made for me, because I've learned so much in my life how special and how important the sacrificial Lamb of God is to me. And I pray today that somehow, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we will all come to that place, as we always do every first Sunday, giving this communion tray more importance and more value. Learn to enjoy this communion time. I'm happy to be participating in communion this morning. Aren't you? I'm really happy. It's not a time of mourning. It's a time of celebration. It's not a time of sadness and sorrow. It's a time of contemplating the great things that God has accomplished for us because of the sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is not a very common concept that anyone really enjoys anymore. Sacrifice. Although hearing this word is really something present in our lives more and more, especially today as we speak about things that we're having to go through, such as food prices and buying a vehicle and the cost of living, and all these things really teach us about sacrifice, because you and I will somehow at a time or another sacrifice in one area and circumvent having to make sacrifices in another. We know about sacrifice, you and I. We may not talk about it too much. We may not look at it as we do the sacrifice of Christ, but we all know sacrifice. This is why when you go and you want to buy a Mercedes-Benz, you'll buy a Volkswagen, because you're going to sacrifice what you really want to buy something else. You sacrifice what school you're going to go through because of the cost of stewardship there in that place, and registrations and all these things. You sacrifice certain prices at the store because everything is more expensive here and cheaper there. And so there are things that we deal with on a daily basis that teach us about sacrifice. It also teaches us our attitudes towards sacrifice, because some of us, and I believe all of us in a time or two, we will learn to keep even certain menial things and not want to give them up because they are special to us. Get rid of it. No, this is special, and you don't want to sacrifice that particular thing. So we know about sacrifice, but sacrifice for you and I, we have a choice whether we want to apply it in our lives at that moment or not, or simply just move forward. See, Jesus didn't live his life that way. In his human life, his life was all about sacrifice. Everything. And the scripture teaches us that. His life has been exalted as we learn that how he lived his life as the perfect example of how you and I should live our lives as well. And that is most difficult, again, because of what I explained. We learn to sacrifice certain things that we want, and we won't sacrifice other things. But that was not the heart of Christ. In terms of Jesus' sacrifice, those of us who are familiar with the Bible know that when you think of sacrificing Christ, you think of the cross. Immediately, you think of the cross at Calvary. With no doubt, and I'll hear a great amen when I'm done saying this, his crucifixion indeed was the greatest act of sacrifice in the history of the world. Amen? Do we believe that? That the price he paid on the cross of Calvary, again, was the greatest act of sacrifice in history. No one else has done anything like him. John tells us in John 15 and 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ is a supreme offering for all of us, that all of us might find forgiveness to live a sinless life. His sacrifice, he offered that freely to pay the terrible cost of all mankind's sin. In John chapter 3, speaking to Nicodemus, who later helped Joseph of Arimathea, you may remember the story, and we speak about this during the Easter time. Jesus states his primary reason for coming here in the flesh. He says in the Word of God, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, signifying his crucifixion. And so we know that Christ paid a big price. And when we think of sacrifice, we always think of Christ dying on the cross. But I want to invite you just for a moment this morning to think beyond the cross. And know that Christ not only came to give his life for you and I and die on a cross as a finished act of love, but his life was a living sacrifice. The life of Christ displays for us that horrible death on the cross. Yes, it does. But it also gives us personal application. And he shows us in his life that sacrifice is not necessarily only about dying, but it's about living as well. Living. His daily walk was an example of the golden rule that says, do for others as you would have them do for us. As Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Living a life of sacrifice. Thus his life was dedicated to the point of exhaustion, ladies and gentlemen, through giving himself for others. In the scripture we find account after account and occasion after occasion where he preached and healed or cast out demons or comforted everyone he came across. It was all about sacrificial living. And so today, let us think about that as we come to communion and participate of this meal, that in addition to the cross, Jesus sacrificed a lot more things that we are willing to in our personal lives. What kind of things, you may ask? He sacrificed things that people, you and I, really prize as good and worthy, such as the ambition of wealth, prestige, or great position, or popularity, celebrity, and many other elements of success. He denied those things. He pushed those things away. He withdrew himself, the Bible teaches us, from any desire to attain any or all of these pinnacles of human achievement. He shunned them all for the greater reward before him. The Bible says that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For what reason? He was looking at the kingdom of God. He was looking at the grand prize of it all. He was envisioning in his heart that after he lived this life, he himself would receive from the Father that benediction. Well done, good and faithful servant. As you've given everything and you've served everyone in this world, so now I will place you at my right hand. And so the Lord exalted him, but it all began because of his sacrificial living. And those who followed him in scripture, we also find, learned about sacrifice and embraced the type of sacrifice exemplified by Christ. And that is a great challenge to all of us, to myself. The question of the hour is, have we embraced the kind of sacrificial living that Christ exemplifies for us? Are you that person that lives a life of the Good Samaritan, that when you see someone in need, you are willing quickly to help? Are you that person who God has blessed in some way, When you see that need, you're there to provide as the Lord has given you. Have we learned that when we see someone sick, we quickly serve them through prayer? We sacrifice our bodies in fasting. I get text after text or email after email from people that I know and do not know asking me for prayer because their baby got cancer. Asking me for prayer because their young child just got diagnosed with COVID. Do we actually take time to pray? Do we serve others as Christ served us? There are people in the scripture who, again, teach us that it is possible to live such a life. And one who did that was the Apostle Paul, and you know him well. He writes of his personal awareness and embrace of Christ's example of sacrifice. He writes in the Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That I might be found in Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be conformed to His death. If by any means," he says, "I may attain the resurrection from the dead. If by any means I can gain what Christ gained at the end, I will live my life such as Christ." The Lord took the valuable things that we consider valuable in this world, expensive metals and gold and diamond and popularity and celebrity and all these things, and He threw them aside because in His heart He had one goal. He said, "There is no greater treasure than to sit at the right hand of the Father." And so Paul says the same thing. Christ exemplified a sacrificial life before me. He served me so well. I have learned to serve others. It was Paul who said things like, "I have been poured out like a drink. I know what it is to have. I know what it is not to have. I know what it is to be filled, and I know what it is to be empty. I know what it is to be full after a good meal, and I know what it's like to be very hungry. But all these things are not a big deal for me because I pray to attain that precious prize for which Christ has taken hold of me." And it all begins, ladies and gentlemen, with a sacrificial living of our Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, the cross is so important because it finished the work. But it is a living that teaches us and models for us how we all should live. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus is the focal point of our Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. Acts chapter 4 states, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven." And what is that name? Oh, please, I hope you're here today. What is that name? Convince me like you know who I'm talking about. What is that name? The name is Jesus. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which one must be saved." Teaches us forgiveness and sin. Ultimately, the gift of eternal life are available only through His sacrifice. The scripture referred to Christ with several distinctive titles. It calls Him the Word of God. In Revelation, He is called our Savior. In John, our High Priest. In Hebrews, our Lord. In Revelation, the Son of God. Revelation again, our Passover. The Son of Man and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So many names He has given. But there is one, ladies and gentlemen, that, forgive me for indulging in this, one that's very special for me. And I hope that I could somehow invite you to be aware of what I'm about to say. One of the names that speaks most loud to me, especially in the past 5 years of my experience and especially even more so in the past 8 months of my actual physical experience of going through this. It's what the scripture calls him in John 14, 4 and 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he did not sin. He's our high priest. And to me, ladies and gentlemen, as I read that, and forgive me, I don't want to talk too much about it because when it comes to that, I'm a crybaby, and I'll begin to cry right now because of how real this word is to me. This is my passage, and I share it with you if you wanted to call it your own. High priest. He empathizes with us, every one of us. And it's special to me, ladies and gentlemen, especially all these past times because of the experience that I went through. You see, when you go through something like what I did, and please, I'm not patting my own back because you go through stuff just like I do as well. This is why it's important for you to hear how God has dealt with me in this situation. But when you go through an experience such as mine, this was absolutely new to me when I was diagnosed. New to me as I began to live my life with cirrhosis for 5 years. And then to go in a lonely place because of COVID with no one there except unknown people who were holding and pushing my body and hurting me and poking me and all these things for 3 months alone in the hospital. And then coming out, not able to walk and all these things. I tried to find someone who'd understand. I talked to my wife, my children. I talked to some of you. I tried to explain what I was going through. I talked to the doctors, what I was going through internally. I was dying inside, and I wanted someone to understand how bad I felt. Death was sweet to me. I hoped I didn't wake up in the morning, that somehow God would grace me by covering my mouth and nose at night, that I might not wake up in the morning. For many times, I tried to explain exactly what I felt and how I couldn't walk and how it hurt so bad and how I had to maintain my integrity and my strength in front of my kids and how I had to come over here at times that I did afterwards and smile and say, "Hi, how's everybody doing?" And yet I'm going, someone understand what I'm going through. And there was none. It's not because you didn't try. It wasn't because my wife didn't try and my children didn't try, but it just didn't reach that place. I still walked away saying, you don't even know what I'm going through. Look, I'm cut side to side. They split me open. My insides hurt. I can't breathe. And I could see just the glitter in the eyes going, you throw up your arms in frustration. You say, you don't know nothing. I went to the hospital as I sat in the waiting room to see my doctors. I looked at people, maybe I could find someone friendly, but everybody was sitting so far away because of the mask that you're wearing. I couldn't talk to anybody that said, "Hey, have you gone through this? Do you feel like this?" Couldn't talk to anybody. And it wasn't until one day that I don't know if it was my sleep or I was awake, but I was reminded of that scripture. I said, I have a high priest. And the Bible says he was tempted in every way. And I said to myself, do you think that Christ went through liver cirrhosis? You think that Christ could raise up his shirt and see the horrible scar that I have in my belly? You think that Christ knows what it feels like to try to take a deep breath and feel that something foreign is in your belly? Is it possible? Then I asked myself, do you believe him? I said, I believe him. I believe him. Well, then he knows. He's been there. He's done that. I was to the point, ladies and gentlemen, of hating the world. I was lost and cocooned in my own situation. Until I said, Jesus, do you understand? He said, I understand. How is it? You know how I feel? Yeah, I know how you feel. And he came and he comforted me. And he spoke to my heart and made me to understand that regardless of what we go through in life, and we all go through different things, I'm not making mine so special. But this is my experience. And you have your own. He came and he comforted me. And he understood. Of all the names in Scripture that are given to my Savior, this is the one that I prize on this day. He is able to sympathize with me and understand what I'm going through. And whatever it is I say to you that you're going through, some of you have gone through terrible pains. We've lost loved ones. We've hurt this way or the other, and we're struggling right now because of this ugly virus. It's out there or not out there. I have no idea. But there is a Savior and there is a High Priest who through his sacrificial living decided to experience the cirrhosis that I did and the transplant that I went through and the heartache and the hurt and the betrayal and the frustration and all these things. He has been tempted in every way, and I could talk to him today and he can comfort me and speak peace to my heart because he knows. Because he knows. He knows what you're going through. All you have to do is believe that he knows. It's hard to believe sometimes because of the pain you're suffering of. But all that sacrificial living he lived, and ultimately leading him to the cross, took him to a place when he said, I want to taste everything they'll go through. So that whenever they go through it, I will know. And they can come to me. And I will comfort them. I will comfort them. You see, the Bible says that he was all God, yet he became all human. And therefore he is qualified to know what life is here on earth. In his deity, in his holiness and purity and sinless life, he decided to become all man and never sinned. But one thing he did was he tasted what you're going through today and will go through tomorrow and what you've gone through yesterday. He is the perfect sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. These things you must think of when you participate of this meal. This is not a time filler. This is not an Assembly of God little ritual. When he said, do this in remembrance of me, these are the things that we should remember. These are the things that should elevate its value from simply being that little drink and little cookie which will not satisfy your thirst nor your hunger. But when you look at this meal and know what it signifies, it will satisfy even to the deepest marrow of your bones. Hallelujah. It will satisfy you. It will fill you. You see, when you come to Christ and understand his sacrifice, you'll learn that God can speak to your circumstance. No one could speak to mine. And I'm not calling anybody a failure. It's just that way. How many know what I'm talking about? When you're going through a pain, you tell your wife or your husband, and they just kind of look with a glass eye and go like, ¿Qué quieres que haga? What do I do? Want a Tylenol? Ah! You want to call a doctor? Ah! You want to go to the hospital? Ah! Speak to it! Speak to my hurt! And I find that no one can do that in our human flesh, but there is one. And that one is the one who sacrificed his life. And today he has set this monumental mark that when we come to participate of this little meal, we will see how grand the sacrifice of our Savior is. How big and wonderful, how singular, unmatchable the sacrifice of our Savior is. He died on the cross to show the magnitude and ugliness of our sin. But he lived his life to show us how much he loved us and how much all of us should live like him. The world today disregards the Savior I speak to you about. Sadly, the country that we live in and some people of this world that we live in are doing everything they can to throw this wonderful Savior that we have out. It's lawlessness that's taking control right now. So much does the world desire today to rule itself and live out life as they see it, not realizing that this is lawlessness. It's lawlessness, it is. And because of that lawlessness that we are living in this world today has brought so much pain and misery to the world we live in today. This is why everyone is hurting, because of this disregard and anger and pushing away daily with hatred the Word of God. It's the lack of submission to the Savior that gave his life for the sins of this world. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. That means that we don't want the Word of God anymore in this nation that we live in right now. But we do. I want God's Word. I want God's Word. I want His rule. I want Him to tell me how to live. And when I go through things and I may stifle and fall, I want Him to come to speak to my issue. Not to offer me a Tylenol or something superficial that only we as humans can do. We can pray for each other and all these things. But when you're going through such a trial, a deep trial, as I know many of you have, it just touches the skin and yet your heart continues to be bleeding. But when you come to that ultimate sacrifice, when you come to this ultimate sacrifice, you'll find comfort. Because of this sacrifice, we're able to find peace with the Father. And when you establish and continue to build your relationship with peace to the Father, with the Father, you will begin to find hope and joy in the life you live. But it all began with the ultimate sacrifice. Do you know Him today? Do you know the sacrificial lamb that I speak about? Do you love Him? Does your heart well up when you speak about Him? Can you actually hold a conversation and talk about him without getting your heart involved and breaking? See, that's what happens when you're in love. You say, oh, the lover of my soul, your heart begins to melt. That's the kind of love we need to give Jesus today. And that's the only kind of love that's going to help us survive in this nation that we live in today. I love Jesus. This morning, as I close, I want to make this invitation as I ask the ushers to come. Maybe you don't know this Savior that I speak about. I wish you would, though. I wish you would know who I'm talking about. And I'd like to invite you this morning that if you are listening to the sound of my voice and you've heard everything I've said and somehow in your heart you feel something bubbling up that tells you, hey, there's something that I'm missing. I think I need Jesus in my life. Is that you? I'd like to see you lift your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody here would say yes to Jesus, lift up your hand to heaven. I know all of us have been here before, but anyone who would say yes to Christ, I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, would you be bold enough to stand? Would you be bold enough to stand and say, it's me, Pastor. I need Jesus in my life. This is what all of us did at one time or the other. This is what I did several years ago. When the pastor said, anybody need Jesus? I got up from my pew and I ran to the altar and I said, man, I'm lost. I need Christ in my life. If that's you, lift up your hand to heaven. Lift up your hand to heaven. This is not to embarrass you, but this is to teach you to be bold about your confessions in Christ. Don't be ashamed. If that's you, quickly. I saw a couple of hands kind of go up, but maybe you're nervous to stand, but I invite you, do it in Jesus' name. And if you can't do that, can't get the strength, then right there where you're at, repeat after me and simply say, Jesus, I need you. I realize today that without you, I am truly lost. I have depreciated the sacrifice you've made for me. But I acknowledge it today as the greatest sacrifice of all. It showed me how much you love me, how much you care for me. So I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I call you Lord and Savior this morning in my heart. Teach me how to live a sacrificial life as you. Help me to desire that grand prize that kept you walking with your Father. That grand prize of being with the Father in glory and having done a faithful walk. In Jesus' name, I welcome you as you cleanse me and purify me. And call me your child and son. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.